Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Dennis Wolf.
Hello, all. It's great to be here on another Friday. Welcome, welcome. Crazy day today in the Northeast. It started by raining. It looked terrible. Then the sun came out. And an hour later, it started pouring again. Then the sun came out. Then we had thunderstorms. And the sun came out. And the sun's still kind of out, but it's supposed to be pretty bad later on. And then it's going to clear up. So why am I telling you this and being your weather person? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, if you keep your dog outside, and especially if you got your dog when it was very, very young, and experts, including myself, say you really should not purchase a dog until 12 weeks of age. Now, is it okay at 8 weeks? Yeah, it's okay. But the problem is that getting a puppy too young sets it up for behavioral issues for the rest of its life. You can go through any reputable website. I was just perusing the American Kennel Club website today. I'm a CGC evaluator, CGC Urban, Trick Dog, Star Puppy, and CGC Advanced. And what's really interesting about it is people will tell you whatever they want to tell you. Now, why is it, and we've talked about this before, why is it that people want to get rid of the dogs at 7 and 8 weeks old? Well, it gets really expensive. And what costs money? We've gone through this too. If you're getting a mutt, that's, let's say, a lab and a poodle mix, that dog costs them nothing, right? A couple of people lately I've seen are doing OFA and they're doing genetic checks. Well, that's a good thing, but there's no expense. Basically, the only expense that you have is the veterinarian. And if you have to progesterone them to take a blood test to see if the female is ready to be bred. But other than that, the costs are very low. So why does a mixed breed designer dog, whatever, pick whatever mixes, why does that cost $3,000, $4,000 when a Grand Champion show dog like Rhodesian Ridgeback or, you know, let's say, a Basenji or a Whippet or, you know, a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Well, those dogs are expensive because, and I'm not saying all of them, and I'm saying they should be, but a lot of those dogs are expensive because they're people who are showing their breeders of merit. If you're looking for a dog, please don't just go and, oh, I want to get a mixed breed. I want to get a poodle mix. You know, standard poodles are great dogs. When you mix them with other breeds and you take like the hyper of a, let's say, a golden or a lab, and they can be great dogs later in life before they die of cancer. But if you're going to take that dog and you're going to think, well, I'm going to get the calmness of a five-year-old lab and the smarts of a standard poodle, guess what? You are probably going to get, like my clients this week have had, it's been doodle week, like shark week, right? It's a doodle week. The dogs are out of control. They're hyperactive. They're jumping up and trying to bite. The bigger ones are biting at faces. They're biting at hands. They're cutting people. They're ripping people open. And the reason that's happening is that a lot of times these dogs, because they're bred by people who call themselves breeders, a breeder breeds to better their breed. So if you're breeding mixed breed dogs, you're not a breeder. You're, by definition, you're a puppy mill or a backyard breeder. It is not good when they say, oh, yeah, they don't believe in using cages. They just raise them in their barn. Yeah, so you don't even know who the mother and father are because they're raised in the barn with a bunch of other dogs. That is a problem. So when you get one of these designer things, and don't get mad at me, you know how I feel about them because people are paying a lot of money. You could get like a best in show prospect of a legit breed, and instead you're getting like, oh, a guardian. We're going to talk about guardians because people are dumb and they are falling for that. Now, first thing is the expenses involved with a dog. Most of these quote-unquote breeders, backyard breeders, are not even taking the dog to a veterinarian until they have to do it when they are getting for a health guarantee for you, which health guarantees is another thing we're going to talk about. So how much does a veterinarian charge? So mine is about between $90 and $110 per puppy. and that's a full examination, full vaccines, DHPP or DAPP, distemper adenovirus, which is also hepatitis, parvo and parainfluenza. They are getting those four. That's, believe it or not, called a five-way sometimes, but that they are getting those vaccinations. So as we know with COVID, handling and storage is everything, okay? So if you have a dog who is being vaccinated by a backyard breeder, which is by definition what they are, or a puppy mill, which is even worse, you're going to have to turn to your veterinarian when you get this puppy that's 7 or 8 weeks old, and the vet says, we don't count their first shot. We don't count that because we didn't administer it. And they are 100% right. Your veterinarian who will not administer or trust, oh, look, but here's the label from the little package. Well, guess what? You don't know how it was, if it was expired. You don't know how it was stored, if it was refrigerated properly, if it was frozen accidentally, if it was sitting in somebody's pickup truck in the sun. You have no way of knowing. So a good veterinarian, and most veterinarians are good veterinarians, a good veterinarian is going to tell you, we do not accept that. Now, let's say the backyard breeder or the puppy mill actually did give one of these vaccinations, which cost about $2 at Agway or Tractor Supply. And let's say they did give this vaccination. So you get the puppy at 8 weeks. It already had a vaccination at 6 weeks. Now it's got another one at 9 weeks and another at 12 weeks and another at 15 weeks and then another at probably 18 weeks because you need to get them through to 16 weeks and you can't give them that close together, not more than 3 weeks between them, not less than, I should say, three weeks between the vaccinations. It takes 2 weeks after they're vaccinated, as we also learned with COVID, that take that time for that dog or puppy to build up the immunities in its body. So you can't say, oh, wow, my puppy was vaccinated and now I can go to the dog park because he's not protected. You got to be super, super careful with that. So if you're getting a puppy and you're paying $3,000, $4,000 for a mutt, I mean, you might as well just go rescue one. Go to a breed rescue or a mixed breed rescue and say, I want a poodle mix. There are thousands of those things out there because there are a lot of them that are messed up. And the quote-unquote breeders, if you do have a contract at all, one of the things they say is that within the first month, if there's a congenital issue or the first 3 months, there's a congenital issue that causes your dog to die, that we will replace it free. Or that if you want to return it, we will give you another puppy. Well, they've still got your money, right? But the problem is, let's say your dog has a problem and then you say, okay, you've had the dog for 2 months and this guarantee, right? It's guaranteed. Okay. But the guarantee is you give the dog back. Now you've put money into it. You've fallen in love with it. Whether it's a bad dog or a good dog, you've still fallen in love with it. Yeah, that's why you got the dog in the first place. And you basically are going to tell them, well, I don't want to give the dog back. And they say, well, if you give the dog back, I'll give you another puppy. They know you're not going to. They could put any kind of health guarantee. We'll guarantee it for a year against congenital issues. Well, one of my clients, very, very lovely family, two boys, the mom who I wish I could adopt or be her sister. She's amazing. And the dad, super, super, super nice people. They had a white German Shepherd. And it was from a guy who was a quote-unquote breeder. White German Shepherds, whether you like it or not, white German Shepherds, it's a homozygous recessive trait, the white. So you have to have both, father and mother have to give the white coat color. White is a defect in nature except in polar bears. And there are few breeds and few species that have white, but they're mostly polar or Arctic where there's mostly snow. Now, why is that important, okay? The reason it's so important is that if you have a guarantee on a dog, how is that guarantee going to be handled, right? In the case of this very lovely family, the person in the, it was an Amish person, hate to blow all of you out, but a lot of you guys are no good with this breeding. You know the family isn't going to return the dog, so the guarantee is worth nothing. Well, this dog died. It was 8 or 9 months old. It literally dropped dead. The poor family was absolutely devastated. this quote-unquote breeder said, well, I'll give you half your money back because, you know, you need to get an autopsy, which is actually called a necropsy. But the problem is a necropsy costs up to $1,000 depending when they do it. So if you're going to spend $1,000 to find out how much, you know, what was the actual cause of death, and their guy's going to give you half the money back, or I'll give you another puppy. Yes, because puppy, they'll just dump a puppy that they can't get rid of. They'll say, well, I gave you another puppy. So this poor family lost not only, I think, several thousand dollars, but also lost the time with this dog. They put money, they put time, they, you know, they spent their hearts and souls and walked it and trained it and taught it. And, you know, who's giving you back your money from that? Well, the answer is, nobody is. So what exactly is there that can be done about that? Well, know your breeder. A breeder breeds to better the breed. If a breeder, quote-unquote breeder, breeds multiple breeds, and I'm not talking about an AKC show breeder of merit who breeds Gordon Setters and Ridgebacks, let's say, or something like that, because that's different. That's you have a passion for two breeds, but you're not interbreeding those two dogs. So that's different, but a lot of these places are actually taking a dog, they're breeding it every 6 months on the heat cycle of the female, whenever she is possible to breed her. They will breed over and over and over again, oftentimes. And these dogs are not from the best genetics or usually pretty crappy genetics to start with. And then on top of it, you have maybe a very young mother or an inexperienced mother, or a mother who's produced puppies, you know, every single 6 months for the entire time that, you know, they've had the dog, because they want to make money. They're only looking to make money. People who are breeding mixed breed dogs, except some of the people trying to breed whatever an Australian Labradoodle is going to be 200 years from now when they actually all look alike, although every poodle mix really looks like every other poodle mix for the most part. It's a hairy mess with, you know, with short legs, long legs. You know, you don't know what it's going to be. I've seen Bernese Mountain Dog mixes that are shorter than mini Golden Doodle mixes. I've seen mini Golden Doodles that are 90 pounds and standard, quote unquote, standard ones that are 40. You don't know, because genetics is a funny thing. It's the same reason you can look at your parents, your siblings, your relatives and say, wow, I wish I had gotten my dad's, you know, blue eyes, and I wish I had gotten my mom's really shapely legs, but instead I got my father's horrible legs and, you know, bone structure, and I've got my mother's, you know, muddy brown eyes, and that's not my parents, but just saying that, you know, you always want what you want, and there's this problem right now where people know, and there are people breeding dogs that should not be even owning a hamster. They're breeding dogs. And whether they take care of those dogs or not, they don't care, because whatever their freaks are, whatever the ones that have problems, they're still getting money for. They're still breeding them, and they're still having a business. Now, we get into something called guardians, okay? What is a guardian? It's something that these people came up with. It's a complete sham and scam. Basically, it's a female, well, sometimes you'll do a male, but it's almost always, it's a female dog, and it's one of the mixes, and they say, well, and this is our pick of the litter. Well, there is no pick of the litter, because it's not a breed, it's garbage, and that whole concept of a pick of the litter, my pick of the litter is best in show dog. My ninth pick of the litter is a group winning dog. So pick of the litter for me, or the worst dog in my group of my litter, is still going to be a phenomenal dog, better than most people's pick of the litter. So if it's pick of the litter, think about it. Is it pick of the litter from the people who are on, what's that show with the swamp people? Is it the best looking guy, you know, after a day of hunting gators in the swamp? Or is it, you know, take the most beautiful family you can think of that isn't that way because of plastic surgery, and try to figure, you know, okay, well, to be the ugliest sister of four sisters of a gorgeous family is much better than being the prettiest one of, you know, the Honey Boo Boo clan. So what we want to do, and what I want you guys to do, is to get your brains into it, get your hearts out of it, and think, Why should I be spending $3,000 or $4,000 on a mutt? Because they're not good. Some of them are okay. But your problem is, first of all, with their contract. Second of all, guardian. So a guardian is supposed to be, and it's a stupid concept. It's basically a co-ownership. You pay everything. You get to keep the dog. And depending on which of the scammy breeders, quote-unquote breeders, you're going to, you'll either have two, three, maybe four times during that female's life that that breeder can breed your female, keep all the money, but they haven't put in a penny for vet care. They haven't had to feed it. They haven't had to give it a location. And what they do is they breed these females, and you guys are a bunch of schmucks. You fall for it. I don't know. Listen, I've got a really, really smart group of all you people who listen every single week. You guys are not dumb. You may not have fallen for it. Tell your friends. Post it on Facebook. Guardian means it's a co-ownership where you pay the vet bills, you pay everything, except they will take care of whatever it costs to actually whelp the puppies. So they keep the dog for 6 or 8 weeks. She spits out another, six puppies or eight puppies or 10 puppies. They keep the $40,000 or so that they got for these puppies. You get your dog back in worse condition. You get a dog who's got a higher preponderance and a higher propensity of getting uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, mammary cancer, endometrial cancer, and half a dozen other things. So then you have your dog, and then, you're going to have another litter because you have the contract for three. And there you go. And now you got to give your dog back again. They make money. They do whatever they do. You get your dog back. And why would anybody do that? If you say, you know what? I'm not going to do this guardian thing. They will stop doing it. But all it is a quick moneymaker for people so they don't have to keep a lot of them. And what they'll tell you is they'll say, oh, well, you can be one of our guardian families. We'll entrust you with our pick of the litter, mutt, right? With our pick of the litter. And instead of it being a $5,000 or $6,000 puppy, we're only going to charge you $3,000, which they were going to charge you anyway because they're all the same thing. There's no standard, so it doesn't matter what they are. There's no pick of the litter and lowest of the litter. They're all mixes. They're mutts. You don't know what you're getting. So the problem is, they're making money on your dog. They're basically prostituting your dog and having her continue to have babies so that they can make more money. And you pay for it. And you're still buying the dog. It's not even like they're giving you the dog free. You're paying for it. I don't understand how otherwise intelligent people fall for that bull with this guardian crap. You know, if I say, yes, we only home raise all of our puppies. Why? You don't have a nice facility? Huh? Are they raised in your home? Well, they're bred and whelped in our home. Oh, that's a whole different thing. That doesn't mean, it's like, it's packaged in America, but it's made in China. And why would you want your dog, you don't realize females die sometimes, your dog can go, your guardian. Your dog can be, having puppies, need a C-section, and now the dog had to have a surgery, and now maybe the dog has, let's say, a dystocia, the puppy's not right, and now the dog is all messed up, maybe she bleeds out and dies. I've seen this happen. And that's where our problem is. Stop enabling these people breeding designer mutts to make more money because you're not understanding. Do not get sucked into that guardian concept. It is the worst thing. It's great for the person who's breeding them because, hey, wow, that's great. You mean I can sell a puppy and then I can say, okay, when the dog's a year old, I want the dog back and I'm going to breed it. And then you keep it for, let's say 8 weeks and I take it the last week and stress it and it comes here and let the puppies all have, let them have their puppies. And then I give it back to you, and you basically are prostituting your dog? I mean, listen, these dogs have enough problems to start with. They don't need more, and you don't need to be making tens of thousands of dollars for unscrupulous people who are basically harming these dogs because they're just overbreeding them and breeding crap to crap. I know you guys know how I feel about it. It's not that I hate every mixed breed dog. The Cavalier Poodle mixes, Cavalier Bichons, although I've seen certainly enough of those with problems. Cavaliers, I love Cavaliers. They do have terrible hearts, and they have a lot of different issues. So if you breed it with a Bichon or you breed it with a Poodle, you do sometimes help the heart defects, not always, sometimes. So maybe half the time it helps, maybe half the time it doesn't matter. But these guardian breed, you know, quote-unquote guardian breed dogs, they're musts. Why would you do that? If you're going to do anything, if you say, oh, I want to do that, you know what? You send me your dog. I'll breed it to a toy poodle. I won't give a crap what happens, what it looks like, because I have schmucky people who are going to give me $3,000 or $4,000 for a mutt. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'll take good care of your girl, and I'll breed, and I'll even give you one puppy for your trouble. Why would you do that? Get your bitch spayed. Get your dog neutered when they're a year old. Don't let them get pregnant. Don't get sucked into a guardian contract, because if your dog dies, they'll be like, oh, okay, well, you can have a replacement. For your dog, I've seen it happen. They don't tell you about the dangers that happen. I've seen just in my limited experience with 200 litters that I've whelped, not that I've bred, but that I've whelped, maybe 200 litters or 220 litters, I have seen four females die, healthy, normal, young females die. So why did they die? Who knows? But how about if yours is one of the ones who dies because you're dumb enough to do, or gullible enough to do, a guardian, all right? So another thing, in the contract, it does not matter what they say about congenital issues and that you have to return the dog, because you're not going to return the dog. So it doesn't matter. So that's just crap, right? Tell the people, listen, I don't want to pay $3,000. I'll give you $1,000, and you're making $900 on that. I'll give you $1,000. That's it. You'll start seeing they won't be breeding these mixed-breed designer dogs anymore, or if they do, their prices are going to drop down. It's unbelievable. Grand Champion Rhodesian Ridgeback, like top show lines, best in show mother, you know, best of breed, group winning father, I get $3,000. I mean, sometimes they're a little more, but the average puppy is $3,000. Do you know what that dog cost me? $120,000 for the mother, for all the shows that she was in, maybe $40,000 for the father. So let's say I've got $160,000 into those dogs. That's excluding vet care, food, cost of having the puppies, progesterone tested, $120 a clip, sometimes every other day for weeks. Those are the expenses. OFA, hips, elbows, thyroid, bear surf, all the different genetic testing that we have. And that's why it costs money for a purebred dog. And the purebred, and I'm not talking all purebred, a show breeder, and especially an AKC breeder of merit, is going to care about that puppy. They don't want you to have a bad puppy. Because that's the whole purpose of their being in business, is to make the breed better, to better their breed, not to make money. God knows no show breeder is ever going to make money. It's like show horses. You don't make money when you win, even if you won $5,000. And even in race horses, when I owned my thoroughbreds and I had winning horses, you'd come up at the end, the trainer gets 10%, the you know, jockey gets 10%. Let's say you have a 60% because you win, and let's say it's a $100,000 race, you get 60, but they get 12, so you wind up with 48. And how much does it cost you to get the horse there? Maybe entry fees, vet fees, shoeing, which we do every 2 to 3 weeks on the track because you have to keep their feet perfectly manicured. All these things cost money. Same thing with dogs. So if you have two mutts and you're breeding a mutt to a mutt, and then Also, we're going to get into behavioral issues that pop up. That is where we have the problems. Now, behavioral issues. Why do people get rid of dogs at 7 or 8 weeks at the youngest, or the, you know, that I would never even allow. But let's say they let them get out at 7 to 8 weeks. Really, what's the best thing is for the breeder, and a good breeder will say, even if it's mixed breed, I've seen a couple of mixed breed designer disaster breeders who've actually done the right thing. They have the hips, elbows, thyroid. They have all the health checks, the genetic screenings. They'll include the AKC papers of the parents, which, of course, never have any champions in them, but at least they're trying. And they have that. Of course, the puppies are not anything, right? They're just mutts. But what happens is, that the mama dog, the first 2 weeks is nothing because they can't see. Their eyes open by 10 to 13 days. Their ears open by 20 to 23 days. So now at 3 weeks, they start turning into puppies. At about 4 weeks, they start playing, and it's very cute. That's 2 to 4 weeks is their primary socialization period. So that's the time when they start learning not only how to walk and run, they learn how to jump on each other. They learn how to put a foot over the other one. They learn how to growl. They learn how to grumble. They learn how to run. They learn how to protect. They learn how to fight. So if you have somebody who is continually helping these puppies and teaching them, and you have them with their mama, even though mama may not be nursing by 5 or 6 weeks, it doesn't matter because mama is still teaching them. When I'm in the box with my Rhodesian Ridgeback Grand Champion Show Dog puppies, I'm in there. Like, I sleep in there. I am in that room, and Shauna and Avery can attest to that. I am literally sleeping in the room, and there's a Furbo in there, and we are watching everything. And if I have to go out, the Furbo's on, or I have somebody in there. It's super important. You teach the dogs not to jump. You teach the dogs not to bite. My puppies that are not even 6 weeks old are completely pee pad trained and poop, you know, they pee and poop on the pads. They don't jump on me when I come in because they already know not to jump. If they start to grumble, I can correct them and they stop immediately. They sit beautifully to be held. I had my friend Mike came up today to visit. He got to hold two puppies. He was just holding them. He's like, I can't believe how calm they are. But he could because he's had two of my Ridgebacks. My puppies are so good, and people will wait years for one of mine because I put so much time in. But you can't have them at 7 weeks. You can't have them at 8 weeks. You got to wait. Usually, I don't allow them out till 12 to 14 weeks, partly because I'm waiting to see which is going to be the best show dog. But on the other hand, a lot of it is I'm also making sure that these puppies are going to be idiot-proof and bomb-proof when they leave. So if I keep these puppies and I teach these puppies and the puppies learn don't bite on fingers, don't rip up at socks, they won't get socially awkward. When you let a puppy out, especially with COVID and everything, and you see people who are letting puppies go at 6 and 7 weeks, even 8 weeks is way too young, what happens is they can develop behaviors. They can develop severe separation anxiety, severe aggression, food, resource guarding, because they haven't had to be social with other puppies at a food bowl for long enough. You need at least several weeks once the puppies are learning how to eat from a bowl, because if they start grumbling, I correct it, it goes away immediately. That's why my dogs are worth $3,000 or more. Why in the world a mixed breed designer dog is worth $3,000? They're not. You're just gullible and dumb. Don't do it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. They're not better. I see more. I've got, it used to be 30%, probably up nearly 50% of the dogs I handle who have behavioral issues. And how old? Oh, we got the dog. We convinced the breeder to give it to us at 6 weeks. You shouldn't, if that breeder is willing to give you a puppy at 6 weeks, that's a problem. That puppy needs to stay with his mama to learn rules, needs to stay with its litter mate. And I can tell you something, you want a snotty dog, a well-bred snotty dog, my little Singleton, I love her. I haven't even given her name yet. Her name is Puppy U Expletive. Phenomenal, sweet, smart. She's still a pain in the neck at a year old because she did all she had was her mother to correct her and me. She didn't have siblings to grow up with. And you'll see a singleton puppy, meaning that that was the only one in the litter, are horrible, kind of like a really spoiled, snotty only child. And so if you ask somebody and you say, well, where, you know, where is this puppy in the order or in, you know, the group in the litter? And they say, oh, this one was the one he left everybody alone. He's always by himself. You don't want that one because that's the one that's going to become fearful or fear aggressive. And you certainly don't want the one who was bossy and demanding. You want someone somewhere in the middle who can get along with everybody. There are a lot of things that we can go into. Unfortunately, I got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back in a moment with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, so stay tuned. So we had a spirited early part of the show with our For the Love of Dog section. Now we're on the For Shelter Dog to Service Dog section that we've been doing since, 12, 15 years. It's really important. You know, we talk about different animals and different breeds and combinations of breeds. And it's very important if you're choosing something that you're going to try to turn into a service dog. Only about 1 in 100 dogs has the ability. So if you say, well, you know, wow, if we have a, you know, I pick from a litter of puppies, you don't even have a 1 in, let's say they're 10 puppies, you don't even have a 1 in 10 chance. You, depending on what quote-unquote breed or combination of breeds it is, you may not have, that puppy may not be in that litter. And you're so desperate, and you go, oh, but look how cute they are. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer was a beautiful, beautiful child, but he didn't grow up so well. So, you know, what we're talking about is you have to be willing to walk away, and you also have to be able to go to a breeder. And I consider a breeder who breeds to better the breed. So not a combination, but if you do say, okay, well, I have allergies, go to a standard poodle breeder and a Portuguese water dog, although temperament-wise, I'd rather do a standard poodle. And if you are going to get one of these mixed breed designer things, then fine, you can get a poodle mix. I'm not going to chastise you for that anymore. But you're, if you go to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, we've had dogs that have become therapy dogs, that doesn't mean anything. A therapy dog is basically nothing. They don't have to have training. Somebody gets lucky that it's a good, calm dog. And, you know, you can get that same match. Like, look at, you know, a family who has 8 children and they have an autistic child and a child with, you know, some other disorder, and the other 6 kids are fine. Well, you know, you look at it and you say, how does that happen? It's genetics. And you don't know because you don't know what you're looking at. And especially with these mixed breed dogs, there's no standard. There's no standard whatsoever. Well, if there's no standard, what are you looking for? So if they say, well, this one is $5,000 and this one's free because this $5,000 one is our pick of the litter, but I'll give them to you for $2,800, big, big saving, because it's going to be our guardian. So, you know, basically, I beat up everybody in the first half of the show, and you guys are still listening, so I guess you like when I am blunt, because I am, right? 3-time cancer survivor, yeah, I'm blunt. I'm tired of having people call me nice, lovely families that the dog died or the dog has terrible behavioral issues or the dog has some other congenital or hereditary condition. And I say, well, call your breeder if the person breeding the dogs is reputable. And they say, oh, sure, we'll take them back. Oh, it's more than 3 months? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't guarantee it. What do you mean you don't guarantee it? Or they'll say, sure, we'll take the puppy back and give you a different one. Well, you just put 3 months into it. You're not going to give the dog back. So the best thing to do is go to a reputable breeder of actual a breed. Pick a breed you like. Don't do this whole poodle mix crap, because what happens, you could get very lucky. And there are people out there going, Janice, I hate that you don't like poodle mixes. I love my Bernedoodle. Like, okay, that's great. But guess what? I've probably been at your house already to fix your dog because your dog was jumping, was psychotic, and like Jen always says at our ranch in Missouri, a crackhead. So you can have a crackhead dog. That's fine. I'm not worried about it. You can have a crackhead dog. But if you want that dog to be trained to be a service dog or to be a legitimate therapy dog and to get a CGC, you are going to have to get a calmer dog. If you get something that's hyper and you say, like this young couple, they're so nice, six-month-old, I don't know if it was a golden poodle or a lab poodle. I want to say it was maybe a golden poodle mix. And they were good sports. The dog jumps up, and I mean, this dog is already like 50 pounds and or 60 pounds, and it's 6 months old. So it's going to be a good 80-pound dog. It jumps up, eye level, bites their hand, bites their clothing. She said, I don't have one pair of leggings that doesn't have holes in it. It attacks her going down, you know, playfully, playfully as it runs down the hallway. And all these different things. And you go, oh, he's the best dog in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. No, he's not. That's not a good dog. You want to see the best dog in the world? I've got them. I've got every one of my dogs is the best dog in the world because they don't jump. They don't bark. They don't bite. They're not aggressive. They're calm. They're confident. I just had today somebody who has one of our service dog Ridgebacks. Her daughter, who's I think 12 or maybe 13, young girl, has one of our service dogs. She was walking her dog, one of our Ridgebacks, and a husky came out and started attacking her dog. Her dog just stayed still, made a low rumble, meaning she didn't bark or growl, but she was making a rumble, which for a Ridgeback is saying, cut it out. I'm not playing. Stop it. The owner came running out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And apparently was very surprised that this dog hadn't attacked her, even though it was on her back and everything else, and she was being a good girl. But the issue is that when we have people who have a dog like this, we give our people so much, so much instruction and rules and guidelines and health and nutrition and talking about energy and talking about purpose. You can read all about this in my book called Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101, which you can get on Amazon. It'll have all this stuff in it. What's fascinating about it all is not that I wrote it, because I've written a lot of books, but it's fascinating to look at what I say and how true it is. And it's not a book about me. It's a book about dogs. So you can literally read it, and you'll see what part of what I teach in our curriculum. This is also what I do when we have our service dog training classes to train humans to train service dogs and also to become behaviorists. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. And it's not always and not often the dog. But the genetics of, let's say the dog yesterday, they got it, let's say 8 weeks old. They get the dog very young. The dog hasn't had its secondary socialization period, which is from 8 to 12 weeks. It's with you privately in the middle of COVID, so nobody's going out. And now the dog is 6 months old, and it's completely out of control, and it's already a big dog, and it's biting. And now it's not puppy bites anymore because it's a 60-pound dog. That dog is going to be huge. And if it's going to be huge and it's going to be jumping and they want to have a baby at some point or have their nephews over and the dog is going to have to be put away every time the kids come by, you're going to realize pretty soon that that wasn't a good idea. But people just go out and they do that. They buy it. So rescue. Rescue is a great way to do it. It's in my book also. It tells all the benefits and detriments to each, to buying, to getting a purebred puppy, to rescuing a puppy versus rescuing an adult dog. Now, we were actually, and I was actually the first one to be able to, and of course, as I'm a behaviorist, to be able to take dogs from a shelter, rehabilitate them, and train them to become service dogs. And this was 30 some odd years ago. Now a lot of people are doing it, and the problem is that they don't know what they don't know. You have people who claim to be experts and have had no training whatsoever. No training at all. Crazy, right? You say, how is that possible? Well, because they can say it. There's no regulation. Now, I've done things like I'm certified in pet loss and bereavement counseling. I'm AFKC accredited and certified to evaluate. I'm an evaluator for CGC, for CGC Advanced, CGC Urban, Star Puppy, and also Trick Dog. So I've got credentials besides the Columbia University degrees, and four minors in 3 years. Yeah, so I am a behaviorist. That's what I do. And I'm not, 50 years old and having, been in another business for 48 years. I've been doing what I've been doing since I'm a kid. I've been in 4-H since I was 8 years old. Rabbits, horses, dogs, birds, whatever, exotics, turtles, frogs, all that. So when you have somebody who says they're a dog trainer or I'm a service dog trainer, there is no certification, and that has to change. We have a new website that's going to be up and running in the next month or so that when you have a complaint and you say, I have a problem, this service dog person who says it's a service dog trainer, but it's not, or they have a dog. I just had this dog that is still on the website of a place that the dog has viciously attacked their cat and the woman. And the husband, when he went to pull the dog off of her when it was attacking her. And they still have that dog on the website. And apparently there was another family who had that dog after this family, and they returned the dog too. So I've got to imagine it was similar. And they have the dog on the website. They need to be shut down. They have no freaking idea what they're doing, and they're scamming people. Those people need to be shut down. But there are also some wonderful service dogs that are self-trained. I've seen not a lot, but probably about the same percentage as I've seen come out of reputable places. Probably 80% of the places out there that you think are good are scams. They'll be out of business 2 to 5 years. Every one of them is crazy. They come in, they go out. So if you're going to say, oh, okay, I'm going to go to that place, you give them money and they go out of business, what do you do? What do you do? But the good places, there are some good places, and there are some good local people who maybe they don't know a lot, but at least they can, give you a little bit of an idea. And if you're able to train your dog to become a service dog, your dog, if it can pass the same criteria as the ones from Merlin's Kids or as the good, the ones from the other reputable agencies, you should not need to jump through hoops. There should be a certification either through American Kennel Club or through the Department of Justice or through some professional dog organization, not one of these ones that you pay $50 or $100 and you're a member and you put their seal on your website and it looks like you actually have some kind of knowledge that you don't. But the goal is, and to me, everything is, does the dog perform tasks and is it public access good or not? If the public access is good, then your dog should be, if your dog doesn't perform and you have a seizure or whatever it's supposedly trained to do, it doesn't do, but it's well behaved in public, I don't really care. I don't care if you die because you faked it, but I care when your dog goes after a person or my service dog who's under the table taking care of me and your dog is off leash and runs underneath and attacks my dog or attacks my dog in an airport or an airplane. I got a big problem with that. So, I think that this whole thing going on right now is really good because people are starting to realize that, oh, wow, maybe we shouldn't be buying these mixed breed designer puppies and they're out of control. We love the dog. Well, you're going to love the dog. Jeffrey Dahmer's parents loved him very, very much. But they had a kid who ate kids. They had a kid who grew up to be a very sick, one of the sickest men ever, and he happened to be a very good-looking guy. But the point being, genetics, 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 genetics. It's about genetics. So if you have a dog that looks like it's got potential, and you say to yourself, I think that, this dog looks like it's a real calm dog. then it might work. But also, a service dog can't be too calm. It can't be so calm that it's comatose, because then it's not a service dog. Then it's just a pet. Then it's an emotional support dog, which is really a nothing. Listen, a thing of Ben and Jerry's, a pint of Ben and Jerry's, is an emotional support, right? To most women, especially. A Hershey's chocolate bar, right? Or some Godiva chocolates, or, you know, Guerlain, or whichever, Drosti, whichever brand you like. That's emotional support when you're, you know, when you're on the rag, right? When you have your period. You men know that because you have to go out and buy us those things. But the point is that if you have a physical need, don't just go out and buy a puppy. You can contact us. You can reach out to us at info@unitedk9pros.com. You can also reach out to us via our phone number, which is 855-449-9288. And I will be happy to, when I get your message, I will be happy to help you. A lot of it is, trying to, help you guys not get ripped off. But right now, it's really frustrating that what is going on, where people are, are just kind of getting ripped off, and then they're buying a dog and the dog just doesn't have talent. So if you go to a breeder, a legitimate breeder, let's say a standard poodle, ask them, well, after your standard poodles, either if they don't finish championships or if they do finish championships, and then you can say, maybe you're going to try, all right, I'm going to contact three different breeders. Get on their list. Get on their, most of them, do have some sort of ability to, do all these certain things. You don't always have that animal that has that ability to do that. And, then you get into this whole situation where you have a problem. So if you contact a breeder, like a show breeder, a lot of times they'll do is, especially with the males, they will take a dog, they'll bring it to its championship, so the dog is completely socialized, it's got tons of training, and you can tell them that, we're going to work on, whatever it is, and once the dog has finished its show career, and it could be a year old, it's already, you can evaluate its adult temperament. It's already got the training, and you're going to love it just as much. You have a much better chance, especially with a well-bred show dog, that dog is going to be able to do all those things that you want him to do. So a lot of it is really just, stop buying mixed breed designer puppies. Contact a good standard poodle breeder. If you have to wait, you wait. Do you ever order a new car? You got to wait like 3 months for it? And you wait. Or you get the bright yellow lemon that's on the lot, and you go, I don't really like yellow. I'm going to wait. But for a dog, you won't wait, because I want it now. It's the me. It's the instant gratification. I want it, and I want it now. Good. And then you can pay me a ton of money to fix that or to help you to at least manage that dog. It's just very frustrating to me when I look at people and I look at what they do and the volumes of money that they're spending for no reason whatsoever. I don't know why they do it. I don't know. Maybe somebody can let me know why, but I really don't see it. I don't see people actually doing a lot of good, smart things lately. I see people who are just doing stupid things because they just don't know any better. And it is a bit, frustrating when you say, hey, this is going to be, a dog I'm going to have for the rest of my life. And you wait for a few months, you wait for a year, but get a good dog. get something that's not going to break your heart by having juvenile cataract, which a lot of these poodle mixes, these golden poodle mixes particularly, get a lot of juvenile cataracts. They get all kinds of issues. So you're not always getting the good part of each breed. A lot of times you're getting the bad part of each breed. And you should absolutely, when you get your dog, you should run an Embark or a Wisdom panel, some kind of genetic testing to make sure you know what your dog is most likely going to be susceptible to. Because I've seen plenty of mixed breed dogs who end up with degenerative myelopathy. I've seen dogs, a lot of them wind up with, especially the poodle mixes, poodle golden, poodle lab, with who wind up with all kinds of, you know, eye issues. I've seen dogs with very early cancers, hyperactivity, separation anxiety, serious behavioral issues because they left their mommy and their siblings too young and because they had garbage genetics to start. Go to a really good, reputable AKC show breeder, not just an AKC breeder. AKC breeder just means that they say that those are the parents. I'm talking an AKC show breeder, like a show breeder of merit is going to be the best. You may have to wait for the dog, but you're going to get a great dog. They're going to stand behind you and stand by you if something happens, and you're going to have the best dog in the world. You know what's crazy? Time flies when you're having fun. And it's just amazing to me that I start the show, and when I finish the show, I feel like I could just do a whole other show. The problem is, there's so much that people don't know, and there's so much that I have to tell you, communicate with you. And I'm going to be giving everybody the information again. Also, very important, get your dog on good nutrition. Make sure you're using the best food you can possibly use. I have several different foods that I use. But for the most part, like there's a great vitamin supplement called NuVet, N-U-V-E-T, NuVet Plus. Canine wafers, and they make a joint supplement too. I guess you can use the discount code is 866-86-86-86. So 866-86. You can get on some good brands of food and take good care of your dog and take good care of yourself. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. Drive carefully and see you next week.